Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, May the 19th, 2026, 5/19/26, almost Memorial Day weekend. 69 degrees, light rain here in the Marion area. What else would we expect? Had a beautiful day yesterday, thought there would be no rain, one of those days with no rain. Then what happened? About 8, 9 o'clock last night, the rain came in. And of course, we're having rain today, even though we have nice temperatures. So I guess you can't have everything. You can either have rain or you can have nice temperatures. No rain and nice temperatures, but you can't have both. Well, we've got a big news day here this morning. A lot of stuff going on that we want to get to. So you know what? We've got a lot of stuff to get to, but I'm going to go to the caller, and then we'll get to all the news this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Scott, a while back when I was talking to you, you said there was no way they would discontinue that recycling if they have a big protest.
Well, I think that's why it was done with no announcement, and I can read some comments since it's come out this morning of what people are saying. It's getting a big flood of nastiness this morning.
Well, I imagine, yeah, but...
See, I think I...
The right decision.
Well, people can debate whether it was the right decision or not, but I think there was absolutely a reason as to why it was not put on the agenda, why it was not announced. People had no idea that was coming last night, and how could the public show up to be angry if they didn't know it was going to happen last night?
Well, that's true. They might show up next weekend.
Well, they might. While I got you on the line here, let me read you just some of the comments in the last 12 hours, because... The bus fares are also going up. Now, that was put on the agenda last night, and there's some comments in regard to that so far. They're not happy, but the comments in regard to curbside recycling are much more pointed this morning, and here's what people are saying. Let me pull up the comments here. Moving backwards instead of forwards. Will the sewer bills go down? Add the yearly trash fee to the real estate tax, hire a good trash company to service Marion, and get rid of all the trash. It would clean up the city. Will you be picking up the blue plastic bins? I have not any use for it after July the 1st. A lot of people will just throw it all away, and good to know that the drivers still have a job. Drivers still have a job, I think is what they meant. So all the sanitation bills will go down. Great idea to save money. Many other cities do it like that. Marion Strong, LOL. I am not hauling my recyclables down to anywhere, so I'll just throw it in the trash, and you all can sort it out later. The city is getting unreal. Seems like rates have gone up significantly, and now you are cutting this service, sadly, will just mean more trash on the curb for me. Why don't you just take a pay cut like a responsible adult instead of moving our city backwards, Welcome Collins? And that's just a few.
Yeah, but I still think that was the right decision. And if you're diehard on the recycling, I mean, unless you're disabled like me, you can go down there and drop it off.
Well, that's fine, but...
Half $1 million, you know, right there in the coffers for it.
No, and that's fine, and I did not say that it wouldn't be done. I said there would be a backlash, and I think that's exactly why it was done sort of in private last night instead of letting people know that it was going to be done. Now, you know, I guess maybe they just decided it yesterday afternoon, but... That seems a little strange, considering that they said in February that was something they were going to cut. This is June, or May, almost June. So, you know, why do you think they did it that way?
Well, yeah, but I think people just got to be realistic. I mean, what do you do, you know, at your house when you're, you know, in bad financial shape? There's things that you have to cut. or curtail to survive.
Oh, I'm not saying...
Same with the city.
I'm not saying it's the wrong decision at all. I've never said it's the wrong decision. What I said was, people feel very passionately about this issue. And to think that it is not more important to people than bus fares or sanitation rates or sewer rates or the out-of-work tax credit, I think is the wrong calculation. And I said that when it happened, there will be backlash, and there certainly is. And I think it's the only thing they did not announce by press release. And it's the only thing they did not tell people was going to be on the agenda when they announced it.
But I think, you know, the people that are going to be backlashing about it, they just got to realize that the city sometimes has to do the same thing you have to do when money is, you know, when you are running in financial shape. The latte that you get every day, you know, before work and get, you know, a six-pack of beer or 12-pack of beer after work. I mean, it might be no latte and just a six-pack of beer after work. But there's times when you have to make some decisions. And it's not like the diehards can't recycle their stuff. They're making a provision for you.
Well, and I think that's also different. I think if they had just tried to cut curbside recycling, that would have been greeted very poorly, even worse. But I think the fact that they are giving people an option, that's different than completely cutting the program. It's not
right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's different.
And
also,
I wasn't never for completely getting rid of it. I mean, if you're that, you know, diehard on wanting to recycle, they're making a provision for you.
Well, hey, and this is
from... And ask your neighbor to save their recycling, and, you know, you can take it with you.
Well, here's from one of our listeners this morning, listening to the conversation. They already raised the utility bills, so now they're doing away with the recycling and still keeping the price hike.
Got to save money somewhere. There's no sense getting rid of the recycling and lowering our bill.
Here's what I think is going to be the biggest reaction to this at this point, is the fact that they didn't put it on the agenda and the fact that they did not really let anybody know that they were doing this or making this announcement last night. Now, I guess the mayor will say that he made the decision yesterday, which I think is what he said, but, you know, even if you did, it probably would have been a good idea to put it on an agenda or send it out. Well, maybe that was his way of sending it out last night, but nobody has gotten a chance to speak on it yet, and I would guess next week's council meeting, people will speak on it now that they know that it's going to happen.
Well, I imagine it will, but I don't think it's going to change the decision or anything.
Well, I'll tell you what's surprising about me.
You just got to understand, you know, the argument I'm telling you about it, I mean, we got to understand.
Listen, as I've said before, I don't think people understand people's passionate, how passionately they feel about recycling. In all of these changes that have come to the city, the sanitation hikes, the storm sewer hikes, getting rid of the out-of-city work tax credit and then cutting it back to 50%, raising the bus fares, the only thing that a group came out and condemned, the League of Women Voters condemned this and said it should not happen and did it in a public meeting and implored the mayor not to do it. Also, as I have said before, I have had people come to my house for holiday parties and get in the trash can and pick out the cans to take home to recycle them. This is one of those issues that people feel passionately about. And it's also one of those issues, and it's the only issue in this, that people feel regressive about. You know, sanitation, you might not like that your sanitation bill or your storm sewer bill is going up, but that happens over time. It's just like gas prices.
Right, they got to understand.
They got to understand. And but same thing with bus fares. You might not like it, but, you know, prices go up.
And I can see it. I wasn't for bus fares going up, but, you know, I can understand.
Right, and even the out-of-city tax credit, not every city has that. So that's one of those things. People, this is the only issue that people see as regressive, because what it says to people is we have something, you're completely taking it away, and it was something that is seen as a good thing. So it's saying the city was doing good things for 40 plus years. I believe 41 years we've had curbside recycling, and now we're not. And it's a regressive issue rather than a progressive issue caused by economy and times.
Well, times are different now. I mean, I would much rather them do away with the recycling rather than keep the recycling and drag the city down. Do we want a beautiful Marion? Yes. And if we keep paying for things that are costing us money, we ain't going to have money for other things.
No, but people want to recycle. People more or less believe in global warming now. People understand that trash fills are getting full and where are we going to put all this trash. And no matter what happens with the recycling, people believe they're doing a good thing by recycling. And they don't, I mean, Marion put out these blue tubs, what, 20 years ago? So people could have a whole separate container for their recycling. And now let's just cut the program altogether. Well, people just don't like that. And again, I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but people don't like it.
You know, I wonder after we pay to get rid of it, if that stuff that we pay to get rid of, does it actually get recycled, or are they putting it in the landfill somewhere?
Well, that's the argument people will make. People will make the argument that it's not being
nice
recycled.
It'd be nice to find out about that.
Well, I think at times people have said that it's not being recycled, and then people have said it's not. But regardless, every time council even would bring up the idea of getting rid of this program over the last 20 years, because it is a money issue, but it was always met with very harsh criticism, and it never was eliminated because of that.
It'll be interesting to see what next council meeting.
Next council meeting could get, well, and also the bus fares aren't making people very happy either. So to do that on the same day probably wasn't the best timing.
Yeah, I just implore people to understand that there's times you got to do some unpopular things, even in your own finances.
There you go. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right, as I said, a bunch of news yesterday, and I want to get to make all of this. One of it was curbside recycling. One bit of it was curbside recycling. But this is an unbelievable story. We learned last week about the 16-year-old who was, let's see here, back on May the 13th, who was shot, or was it a 15-year-old? I believe it was a 16-year-old who was shot in the area of Oak Street and Chestnut Street. And then they drove themselves to the hospital, if I remember right. Hope I'm getting this right. Drove themselves to the hospital and were life-flighted. No, it was last Wednesday because we were coming to the station to do the taping. And they were life-flighted to Columbus. Well, yesterday we found out that two additional arrests have been made in this case. And they're 15-year-old juveniles. Investigators have recovered evidence that proves more than 20 shots were fired between the group of juveniles. The investigation is ongoing, and more information will be released as it becomes available. So, one 15-year-old was arrested last week, and two more on the 14th. So, you know, just to think, three 15-year-olds were out shooting, 20 shots, and one person was hit on May the 13th in the area of Oak Street and Chestnut Street. I mean, what a horrible story that is. Then we've got the bus fares going up. We'll talk more about that as the morning goes along. Bus fares going up July the 1st. Then we've got the end of curbside recycling. That kind of came out of the blue last night during the city council meeting from the mayor. That will go away on July the 1st. And we learned late last night, early this morning, that at the intersection of State Route 4 and White Oaks Road in Pleasant Township, at 6:08 last night, there was a crash. A 16-year-old was driving a car, it looks like, and there was a black 2007 motorcycle driven by 54-year-old Sean Woolham. And Sean, well, what happened? The preliminary investigation indicates a 16-year-old was traveling northbound on State Route 4, failed to yield to the motorcycle as he attempted to make a left turn onto White Oaks Road. Mr. Woolham was traveling southbound on State Route 4, struck the car and was separated from the motorcycle. Mr. Woolham was transported from the scene by the Pleasant Township EMS to Marion General Hospital, where he later was pronounced deceased. The 16-year-old juvenile was transported from the scene by Marion Township EMS to Marion General with minor injuries. Mr. Woolham was not wearing a helmet. Not that that would have saved him, but always remember to wear a helmet. Phone lines are open now, 740-383-9944. So that was yesterday. The 16-year-old attempted to make the left turn and apparently did not yield to the motorcycle, and it led to the death of a 54-year-old man. So here we go. Sean Woolham? I think is what we... Yeah, Sean R. Woolham. 54-year-old Sean R. Woolham. So, bad few days here in Marion. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I would say good morning, but after news like that, it's not. I'm sorry, where did that accident happen again?
That happened in Pleasant Township. It was yesterday just after 6 o'clock. Let's see here. It was intersection of State Route 4 and White Oaks Road.
Oh, man. And a 16-year-old was driving. Oh, wow.
Yeah, driving a Kia. And looks like did not yield to the motorcycle, hit the motorcycle. The 54-year-old man was not wearing a helmet and succumbed to his injuries. Terrible.
That's just all the way around sad. Just a kid and a dead man and bad. That's just sad. And here I was wanting to talk about recycling.
Oh, we're going to talk about... Well, I mean, these are just sad stories and you know, we didn't get them
well,
up
on... Well, I have
them.
A 16-year-old that drives. So I think about that, and then I have friends that ride motorcycles, so I think about that. And, you know, the combination of both is, yeah, bad and scary.
Well, I think the reason these stories are particularly sad, because that story has come out in the last 24 hours, and also we learned that there were three 15-year-olds involved in this shooting in which 20 shots were fired.
Over by me.
Yeah, and I, you know, it is hard for me to wrap my mind, because when I see a 15-year-old, I certainly don't think that's anywhere near an adult. And
no, oh Lord, no.
Well, and the fact that they got a hold of a gun, or guns, or whatever it was, and went looking to shoot somebody. And
so my understanding is that the person who was shot was inside the vehicle. He drove himself to the hospital. He was shooting because he saw one of the 15-year-olds that returned fire walking down the street, and they had beef. And apparently we have 15 and 16-year-olds carrying guns these days. Pistols, no less.
Because the person was 16 years old who got hit, right?
Yes, but he'd also been firing, to my understanding. So they were shooting at each other. Three houses were hit with bullets.
Yes, and apparently one, I don't want to call the lady elderly, but I do know it was somebody's grandmother. So, you know, I mean, and this happened in broad daylight, did it not?
Oh, yeah, it was like two something in the afternoon.
I mean, it's just amazing. Okay,
And I'm not anti-gun. Like, my family has guns. My son and husband go shoot guns. I've been to the range quite a few times. I'm by no means an expert. But, you know, I respect the right to carry guns, and but I don't... 15 and 16-year-olds, how are they getting their hands on pistols?
Well, see, this is what I don't understand. And by the way, another one of our listeners this morning out there said, where did those kids get those guns? I think that's the question, because here's the issue in this particular case. Nobody is trying to be anti-gun. Nobody is trying to take anybody's gun away. But if...
For reference, Scott, I have video of my son shooting a Barrett 50 cal. For the gun lovers out there, they'll understand what that means. At 16 years old, they went to the range. So, I mean, that's how pro-gun I am.
But here's
responsible firearm usage.
But it sounds like this incident was not even planned.
No.
Okay, well, that is scary. That is even more scary, because what that means...
Yes, I roll up on an enemy, and I'm armed, and he's armed, and we decide to shoot it out in the middle of Oak Street in the middle of the day.
Yeah, but what people have to understand what that means is that in the middle of the day in Marion, Ohio, there's a 16-year-old, just so happens to have a gun...
That should be in school.
And three 15-year-olds that just happen to have guns, just happen to have them.
That should be in school.
Yeah, but if somebody fires on them, they're
prepared to return fire.
Well, they will return the fire in a neighborhood, broad daylight, people are outside or in their houses, and, you know, this is a very, very, very ugly
right
story.
Right around the time that the Harding... within 20 minutes or so of when the Harding bus drops off. So it could have been full of teenagers, students that actually went to school that day.
But
that
time too. Even if you had some kind of beef with somebody, that's what you do at 16? You start firing at them?
That stop right there, Chestnut and Oak, is a school bus stop.
See, and that's the argument that every person against or for gun control will make. They will make the argument that, you know what, yes, some people hunt. Yes, some people are very cautious and abide by the laws with the guns, and that's not the issue. The issue is that in a town like Marion, Ohio, you've got three 15-year-olds and a 16-year-old in the middle of the day wandering around with guns and perfectly willing to fire at somebody if they don't like
them. In the middle of the neighborhood,
yep. Yeah.
In the middle of a residential neighborhood.
So who's watching those guns?
I don't know what the solution to the gun thing is. I mean, we've got background checks, and we've got... As long as there's people that are willing to break the law, it doesn't matter how many laws you make. But I still don't... I know that's not an answer. You know what I mean? But I don't know what the answer is. It's such a complicated situation that if it were easy, we wouldn't be having these discussions decades after decades.
Well, and a listener out there this morning says, I believe if the guns belong to the parents, the so-called parent should be held responsible. And I'm sure they will be. I'm sure somebody's going to be held responsible for this.
But we're seeing that more and more across the United States, though. I mean, I can think of two. I can't tell you exactly where. I'm pretty sure one was in Michigan, where the kid was a school shooter, and his parents, they had bought him guns for his birthday and for Christmas and things like that. And there were definitely warning signs that this kid was unstable and should not have access to weapons. And they still let him have, you know, rifles and access to pistols and all of these, which I don't know if you're aware of the gun laws or not. People under 21 are not allowed to have a pistol.
No,
you cannot legally purchase a pistol. So, I mean, that in and of itself is just insane to think that you're going to give your kid, you're straw manning basically for your kid, which is a crime. You know,
well,
here's the thing.
Here's the thing. And again, I am not taking any stance on gun control or wearing a helmet.
My son has rifles that will be his when he's old enough to have them that are, you know, hand-me-down through the family. But he doesn't get to keep them under his bed right now, you know.
Well, here's the thing. This is what disturbs me when I look at things like social media and videos. Okay, just... To touch on the helmet thing quickly with the 54-year-old gentleman who wasn't wearing a helmet.
Oh, please, people wear a helmet.
Well, and not that it would have saved his life, but who knows.
But here's the thing.
Just you know,
an ounce of prevention.
People don't think that's cool. People, that's why they don't do it. They don't like it. They don't think they need it. They think they have control. But it's the person who's not yielding who you have to worry about.
Exactly.
It's not you. It's the other person. And the thing with the guns, quite simply to me, is that one of the problems is that people dislike the idea of gun laws so much that, you know, we just talked about this with the gubernatorial candidates. You got to take a picture with guns to show that you're mm-hmm. pro-gun. You've got to go that
far. And it's got to be a big, scary-looking gun, too.
Right. You've got to... You've got to show that. And you've got to attack, you know, politicians locally have to attack people for being attacked by the gun lobby. Well, okay, well, what's their answer to this? Why do 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds have guns, just happen to have them, and are willing to fire on each other in the middle of the day?
And you read the Marion Star article, which I know you didn't because you're too cheap to get a subscription. One of the people on Oak Street said that a bullet came through the front of their house just, you know, about 3 feet from their head while they were watching.
Oh, I think that was the grandmother. I heard that story. Yeah.
Yeah, I read that in the Marion Star. I couldn't remember who said it, but... Yeah, a bullet came in through their house while they were watching television 3 feet from their head.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you know...
But I want everybody to keep this in perspective. We're talking about Oak Street and whatever, but we're talking about the end that is about less than a quarter of a mile from City Hall. So we're talking about the end that's very, very close to the police department. You could stand on that sidewalk and see City Hall. That's how close it is.
I guess the ages in this one are just very ugly to me.
Oh, it's very unsettling. Very unsettling. Did you hear the story about the man from Marysville that had the this isn't a story, this is actually happening. I've read the story. 1,493 images of child porn on his
devices. Oh, no, that's terrible.
Okay, well, here's the terrible part. He's affiliated with Elgin Schools. Apparently, he does, their stats and their whatever volunteer-type stuff for the football program. There was something else. Somebody told me that. This part I don't know. I know for sure that he volunteers with the football program. They said he was just handing out academic awards at their programs the other night, that he was at the academic awards ceremony. Somebody sent me that. I wasn't there. I don't know. But also, apparently, this man dresses up as an elf at Christmas time with a local reindeer farm and goes out and plays elf while the kids pet the reindeers.
Well, you know, I feel bad in those cases for the school district and people who, you know, because I'm sure they don't know.
Well, I don't think anybody knows, and I'm not going to even talk about how horrible it was, because I'm trying to burn the image out of my head today, and I'm not saying that to be dramatic. It was so awful that when I read it, I thought, oh my God, I wish I could, like, you know how you have the undo on Word, like you made a mistake, you hit undo? I wish I could have done that after I read it. And that was just one image. That was the one image that they indicted him on. And I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. And this man is out, like, playing Santa and reindeer, and he's around kids. And I guess the only solace, and as awful as this sounds, is that the high school kids would be too old for him to like, based on the type of pictures that they found.
Well,
that's how... I was mortified when I read it.
Well, and let me touch on this other subject before we get to the legislative stuff, which is going to have long-term effects on people. You know, yesterday as we were going off the air, a matter of fact, it was the whole second hour yesterday, and I didn't expect to get into this conversation about for people who weren't listening, former police chief John Long, back in 1974, 52 years ago, was found, he committed suicide at his desk, shot himself, right in this building. Apparently, could be in this office I'm sitting
in
right now.
Yeah, I heard that. Or at the spray tan salon.
Right. So, I said, I've known about this story for a long time. A matter of fact, I pulled the articles up yesterday. I just happened to have them here in the studio in a file. We've covered this story before. And the listeners yesterday wanted me to track down people and try to figure out what actually happened, because the thing in that story is nothing ever came out. The whole story based around the idea that John Long was the police chief. He was about to retire. I think he had 3 months left after 30 years on the force, 9 years as chief. And some city council members went to the mayor. Well, they went to the local media then, which was the Marion Star. They went to the local media, and they had a closed-door meeting with the mayor, which was John Quaintance at the time, and John Long, the police chief. And they said, this is the evidence we've collected. We've got sworn affidavits against John Long. and he needs to go. Mayor Quainton said, I believe the police chief. I don't believe whatever they're accusing of him happened. And yet, John Long said it was all hogwash. He said what they were accusing of him of was hogwash. But he was going to resign instead of face the public scrutiny of it, because he was retiring in 3 months anyway. Well, the day that story was supposed to run, he commits suicide. So the little addendum, probably in those days before the 5 o'clock deadline on the newspaper, was the police chief commits suicide at his desk. So that's the story. Well, the thing of it is, this press conference in which these city council people were going to... See, this just goes to show you stuff's been going on downtown for a long time. The city council people were supposed to have this press conference, and they were going to bring this evidence against John Long. Well, you know, whether it's true or not, it sticks to you. So I believe that the man could have committed suicide if he felt his reputation was on the line. Because you never really shake that stuff. So we're having...
50 years ago, things were way different than they are now as far as your reputation. But, man, suicide over your reputation is...
Oh, he should not have committed suicide. But what I'm saying is, to say that the reason he committed suicide is because he did these things they were accusing him of, I don't know that that's true. I can't say that. So the
No, we can't say it for certain because we don't know what it is he's accused of.
No, but yesterday in the conversations I was having,
I heard what he was accused of.
Right. The argument being made was, well, the fact that he committed suicide shows he was doing something, and I don't think it does, to be honest with you. So anyway, the point is, to get to the point of today, after that conversation yesterday, because people wanted me to go find somebody associated with this story, you know, 52 years ago, these people are either dead or in their 90s at this point, and what would this do, is what I said. If this man has any family around, we're just going to drudge up half a century old stuff, and...
Okay, but I want you to think about who you're talking to, because mine is... Mother's murder was solved after 46 years.
Well, right. No, I'm not saying that.
But I'm sure for that family, and I'm not saying you should do this. I'm not saying that. I'm just playing devil's advocate to you. I'm sure that dredged up quite a bit of stuff for his family.
Right. No, all I'm saying is that if they had evidence that he had done something criminal at the time, now these were city council people, then they should have, regardless of the suicide, went along with whatever they were doing. I mean, if somebody was...
We didn't do it for Epstein. Why should we do it for him?
Well, but we don't really know what he did. See, this is the problem. Here's my fear in this story, and then I'm going to tell you the note I got yesterday. Here's the story, the problem with this story. If I bring one... Let's say I found somebody associated with this case who was really... in the know. I mean, the mayor's dead, John Long's dead, and these city council people are dead. So who am I going to find, first of all? And let's say I bring them in as a guest. And they come in here 52 years later and said, this is what we were going to accuse the man of. Well, how do I know he did it? I don't. And how do I know what they're saying is true? I don't. And what are the chances going to be that I find out that it's true? Probably none. So all
that you're saying is you don't want to just spread a bunch of rumor and gossip?
Yeah, just to get people's interest. Oh, look at the old police chief who committed suicide. It was a big story 52 years ago, and this is what one person said he was accused of. Now, speed up to yesterday. Somebody was listening to that program who was actually, there are some people still around who were involved in that situation. Not many. This might actually be one of the few, and I'm not going to say who it was, but this is what the person says. He was never charged with anything, so it would not be fair to his surviving family to publicly discuss the whole situation. I will just say that he was under investigation at the time of his death. I did know him personally, and he was a nice man. He had been treated over the years for mental issues, but I would not want to cause any more pain to the family than they already suffered.
You know, But based on what we've seen happen here recently with the Ayers Ratlow situation, if the man did have some mental health struggles back then, and we know what kind of mental health treatment they offered in the 70s, you know, maybe he did see, maybe it was something he was being set up for, and they told him, you know, sorry, we conspired against you, and your goose is as good as cooked. And the only way he saw out was suicide. So, I mean, there's so many ways you could speculate about this, but regardless, somebody's dead, and we're talking about something that happened before I was even alive.
Right, but here's, I think, the problem with this story, is just simply, people immediately want to go to the inappropriate side of it, that it was
right.
Somebody underage.
He's been embezzling money.
Right. You know, my guess is that was probably the accusation because it was being made by council people. Now, I don't know that council people are all that into the police chief's personal life. So my guess...
And back then, something like that was more likely, like a peccadillo, as you would say, was more likely to get covered up than a financial crime.
Yes, if honestly, and I hate to say this, and trust me, I'm not saying it's correct, but if he was having an affair on his wife, or if he was having an affair with a young girl, people probably would not have blinked much of an eye at it.
No, not back then. Not like we would now. Because, I mean, now we even look past it.
Right. So...
So, back then it was far less taboo.
Right. And so, you know, I'm guessing it was probably financial if it was being investigated that way. And I would also have to say, an affair on your wife, as much as you might not like it, is not illegal, so that's not something to investigate. And also...
And I think if there were some child victim, or, you know, they wouldn't have seen him as a victim back then, we see him as a victim now, but if there was a child victim, they probably would have came forward at some point in the last 50 years, don't you think?
Yes. I think they would have been how would city council learn of this? And get the sworn affidavits.
Unless someone's mother or the person or someone said, hey, the police chief is having an inappropriate relationship with my child.
Right. And also, I believe that once you make an accusation like that, it stays with somebody forever. As I mentioned with Ayers yesterday. I mean, he's went to court and been cleared of it, but yet people still think it.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, I found that interesting when I got that message yesterday, because this is a person who knew he was under investigation, who apparently knows what the situation was, but even to this day, they don't want to say it, because they knew him, said he was a nice guy, and they knew he was facing mental issues at the time. So maybe that was part of the suicide. He was facing mental issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, just whatever whatever it was that he thought they had or he had actually done was just was better off to his family, deceased. Unfortunately, I don't think people realize that's a large reason why people commit suicide. I mean, it's mental health, obviously, but they feel like a burden, and they don't want to be a burden on people any longer. So they take their own lives as to not burden others.
Well, when I heard that, and again, you take all this stuff with a grain of salt, but when I heard that he was being treated for mental issues, well, now you look at his suicide and you go, well, wait, maybe he didn't do anything. You know, he's getting humiliated in the paper. He's getting humiliated by counsel. He's getting humiliated he's getting humiliated in front of the mayor. And he's having to resign 3 months early. If you're being treated for mental health issues, would that be enough to make you commit suicide? Maybe.
Well, think about this. His pension, did his family still get his pension if he died while he was on the job? As opposed to being forced out of that office. You know, I mean, there's all of these things you got to consider. You watch enough prison and Law and Order type shows, you'll see these things happen.
Right. Well, I guess
we're still speculating about someone's death 52 years later.
52 years later. And apparently there are some family members still around who I'm certain don't want to talk about this. His kids might be alive. And, you know, I really don't see the point what would it do? Like I say, if I thought you could get to the bottom of it and really have an answer to this, well,
But what did he do in Marion history that defined the place in such a good or bad way that we need the answer to this? You know what I mean? Did he do something so horrible that if we find out what he did, that'll be the root of all of our problems?
Well, the people who I have known, who have known him, who have told me what they thought it was off the record, everybody's got a little different story. That's problem number one. And number two is they all say basically what this person said. He was a nice guy. And, you know,
I'm sure everybody thought the guy. I don't know anything about this story other than what I've heard on your show, but I bet everybody thought the guy at Elgin was a nice guy, too. Until he got caught with 1,493 kiddie porn pictures. So, I mean, just because somebody's a nice person doesn't exclude them from the realm of being a criminal. Now, I'm not saying the police chief was a criminal, because, again, I wasn't alive then. But nice people are bad people, too.
Well, and, we talked about this a few months ago, and this is why rhetoric matters. When
yes.
you pound somebody day after day after day, and I said this a few months ago on the air when I felt people were being pounded by websites, you know, and they didn't have social media in John Long's day. You couldn't just put something out there, phony baloney, and make fun of people. If we continue down this road and feel that people deserve this, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a suicide one day. And honestly, I don't know how close it has come with certain people, but I would guess a lot closer than most would believe. I think this has been so damaging, the way that politicians and websites have been acting. I believe that it's been a lot closer than we'll ever know, that people have been on the brink of...
I would agree with that, and I'm hope that we don't ever have to test that theory, or you know what I mean? We have a real life example of that theory. I really hope that.
No, I never want to say that again.
I do believe that the internet has enabled people to say and do things that they would not do in real life. That said, the legislation last night of
yes.
the limiting the ability of people to talk. I picked up on two things. I had a phone call with my own attorney last night, or I would have been there. I picked up on two things. Mark Russell said that there was an input from an attorney in Columbus that they had engaged with, but not necessarily on that topic. So I'm going to assume that's the attorney that they have hired to fight me in court. So that'll be interesting. But I remember, you know, this personal insult thing and name-calling and that sort of stuff. Do you remember when Ralph Smith wanted Jason Schaber's line in that piece of legislation that the mayor did
yes.
the...
Yep.
He came up with party bus without city council's input, and it wasn't even like the mayor is a jackass for doing this or anything like that. It just said Bill Collins basically did this unilaterally without permission of council.
Yeah.
Okay, and remember Ralph Smith wanted that taken out because That might have hurt people's feelings. That might have been insulting. And we didn't want that in our legislation because it might hurt people's feelings. Do you remember that?
I do.
Okay, so if we can't say the truth, which is Bill Collins started Party Bus without asking city council about it, if a piece of legislation can't contain the truth, what kind of limitations are they going to put on our speech?
Well,
because that was nothing more than the truth.
But you know what? Last night was
my hurt feelings.
Last night was kind of weird, because the first time this got a reading, it almost seemed as if it was a done deal and nobody had any problems. Now
and last night,
night
they couldn't understand the language.
Well, yeah, but even the people, Ralph Smith and Scott Kreider, both seemed to be backing off of it, and that maybe this wasn't the right time for this, and maybe. And maybe if we do have finally, and it was Aaron Rollins last night, mentioned there are rules on the books, and if we have a strong council president, and Mary was sitting there, and I look back at Mary during that, and I don't even think she understood, honestly, that they were talking about her. She was
did
not...
Did you see that meeting last night, though, without the brand new rules, without any speaking limits, do you see how well that meeting went last night? People talked back and forth, and they exchanged ideas, and it was respectful, and there were no issues.
Right,
would
but
you agree?
I guess yes, and I guess the point I make, I don't think Mary understands
Where she is?
Well, no, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that I don't think she understands that this is her job to keep the meeting running smoothly. And if she has the power to tell people to sit down. She does have that power. I believe it's rule 16.
But she needs to use that power. She can't use it selectively. She has to use it uniformly.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Right. But once that was brought up last night, everybody from the audience, and even the people sitting there, Ralph and Scott, kind of all of a sudden started to, well, do we really need this? You know?
I wanted to point out what C. Lou Kelly said, because he's a big advocate of this. And he got up there and he said that he agreed with all of this and that the time should be limited to 3 minutes. I timed how long Sulu talked, and he talked for 5.5 minutes.
Well, I'm not sure that this is going to get out of committee now. I really am not, because I don't know that Scott will vote for it, Scott Kreider, and I don't know that Ralph will vote for it, because
I know in 8 days I'll be sitting in Toledo in a federal court with that same attorney that helped them draft that piece of legislation.
Well, it just seemed like, I honestly feel when Aaron Rollins pointed out what had happened in the past and why do we need this all of a sudden, I think they kind of understood it. And then the four or five people who followed, who basically said more or less the same thing, I think they got it. And I honestly think nobody wants to follow these rules, because now that they're looking at them, I don't think anybody understands them.
I've been in a meeting where Aaron Rollins shut down public comment respectfully. He was, I can't remember what he was chair of back then. It might have been zoning or something like that. But he said, I've taken all the public comment I'm going to take on this issue this evening. Boom. Done. Respectful.
Well,
nobody got told to shut up or sit down or anything else. I remember that night distinctly.
Well, and as it was said last night, there were past council presidents who threw not only council members out of the chamber, but they threw citizens out of the chamber. I mean, this has happened, and I don't understand.
If you're being absolutely unruly, you should be thrown out. But if my interpretation of disrespectful and their interpretation of disrespectful, like I just said with Ralph Smith, and that he didn't want that in a piece of legislation because it might hurt somebody's feelings. I didn't think that hurt anybody's feelings. I thought it was the truth. So clearly, we're going to have a difference of viewpoint.
Well,
who's going to win? The guy with the gavel.
Well, we've got a whole other hour, but I do want to say this. It was interesting that when it was finally boiled down last night, when it was finally asked, why are we doing this? What is the need? What prompted this? The answer that we got from Danny Clark was noise in the back of the room.
Yep, my attorney's going to love that.
But I guess the point is,
it's to get the audience under control, as he calls us, not the community.
Well, but
to get the audience under control, not the guy that calls women stupid bitches after meetings.
Right, but this is not 1968. It's not because we don't have any rules. It's not because of something that happened.
Scott, he's putting our right to speak in writing for us. Isn't that kind of him?
Well, right, but it was admitted last night that the reason this came about was because
of the noise
in the back of the room. So,
Danny Clark,
just gavel the thing. You know, it's very, very strange. But
he doesn't have the gavel ever. So he needs he's been on council all of 4 months. He needs a whole rule all for him.
Well,
there's a whole set of rules called Robert's Rules.
Just a final note on this. It was almost immediately after that was said, Kim Mayer, got up, and she was arguing with Mark Russell, and Mark was obviously getting irritated because she wasn't letting him speak, and he wanted to answer her question. And so this back and forth is going on, and Ralph is not stopping it, who's the chair of the committee.
And if we allowed because they love to talk over us, too, so if we honestly did the one recognized speaker at a time thing, it would be fine. It would work just fine. But when they want to talk over us, then we want to talk over them because we're the recognized speaker. And then it turns into a tit for tat.
Yeah, but all Ralph had to do was bang the gavel and said, Miss Mayer, let Mr. Russell speak. That's it.
Yes. Yep.
But they don't do that.
And that's not stifling anyone's speech. That's
no.
Just taking turns.
All right, we're going to break. We've got another hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Take care, Scott.
We won't even stop. The tires are squealing away from that one. Is Dr. Ruth in a happy relationship?